This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free of the chains holding me. Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us in this battlefield we call life. Last week, I walked through the first nine or chapters of Revelation. We were looking at what is God saying, what is God showing us about what's coming up. And I'm going to continue that this week with what's coming up. What's coming up with the tribulation? And last week we looked at how 1/4 of the earth will be destroyed. The population of the world will be destroyed quickly during the tribulation period. There will be runaway inflation. And then there are verses seated throughout those chapters showing how believers, the saints, are being martyred or being killed and how we're there during the tribulation period. And there isn't an interruption with the rapture. And the purpose of this is not to have a theological debate. It's to help you be prepared, help you to see what God is saying is coming and how to order your life and how should we live during these times. And so I'm going to pick that up with Revelation 13, beginning in verse 5. And the beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name, but cursing God's name is what he's saying, and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. So here again, the saints, the Christians, we are here. And it is a time where we're allowed to be conquered, meaning we're going to be martyred. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who is slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive to captivity, he goes. I'm continuing verse 10. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. And here it is again. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. If we're not there during the tribulation, why are we being called for endurance and faith? It makes no sense at all. And again, it was the beast was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. We have to be prepared to die. I believe you're not really ready to live until you're ready to die, meaning if you were to die tomorrow, are you really ready to meet Jesus? Are you really sure of your eternal destination? That is the most critical question in life. Have you made him Lord? Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you giving him everything? Or are you just giving him nickels and dimes of your time? What does your prayer life look like? There are so many people who, and some of our churches have done this, have created lukewarm mills where we're too worried about keeping people in their comfort zone. And that is a big mistake. We have to warn people of what is coming and what is here. There can be no doubt we're right up against this time. I don't know what that means. It could mean months. It could mean years. I don't know. It was foretold that when Israel became a nation, that would be the last generation. I believe Israel became a nation in 1948. A generation is typically 80 years. So 2028 will be 80 years after 1948. We're right there at the door. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Where is your relationship with God? Do you really trust Him? Are you aligning your life with what His Word says? How's your sexual life? What I mean by that is sexual purity. Are you in bondage to pornography? Are you having sex outside of marriage? I mean, a lot of these things churches won't even touch. Where are you with sexual purity? Where are we with purity, period? Is there something you're in bondage to? Don't play games. This is not, there is no time anyway, because we don't know how much time we have left, but especially right now with the times we're moving into. So I'm going to cross over to Luke chapter 21 now, when Jesus was foretelling of this time. And Jesus is talking to the disciples, and then verse 10 of Luke 21, then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You'll be delivered up by even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Are we in a period of time where Christians are the enemy and good is evil and evil is good, but not a hair of your head will perish? And here it is again, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Endurance is going to be so critical. You got to grow deep roots in your relationship with God now. You can't let yourself be distracted by the stuff of this world, by the entertainment, and by the pleasures of this life. And then continuing into Luke 21, verse 25, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People were fainting with fear. Psych meds like anti-anxiety medication, antidepressants, sales of those things are at an all-time high right now. A lot of people struggling with anxiety, especially youth, and with foreboding for what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then, after all this happens, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then Luke 21:34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, and here it is, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Why do we need to pray for strength to escape these things if we're not going to be here? That's another. When I read these things, I'm questioning, like, how can people be talking about a rapture when there's so many warnings in the Bible about by endurance being so critical, praying that you may have strength? How's your prayer life? If you think you're going to all of a sudden get to have a strong prayer life if all this stuff hits the fan, you're wrong. You won't be prepared. You need a strong prayer life today. I challenge every single believer to spend an hour with God every single day to the best of their ability. And that's even just a minimum. That can be time in the morning with time in the night, but you should be praying all during the day. This is the standard we are called to. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, you know, you're going to scare people. It's too hard. And Let's just start at 5 minutes a day. Do you know what I found, my friends? We set the bar low, nobody cares. When you set the bar high with God's standards, the people who are really serious about their faith will go for it. I don't care about setting the bar low. That's happening all over the church today. And it's why so many are falling away, because we're not giving them a faith worth dying for. So let's move back into Revelation, chapter 14, verse 9. We're going to get another call for an endurance. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast, the Antichrist, and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." He's talking about an eternity in hell here. Isn't that a topic that doesn't really come up in churches much? If you read history with the Great Awakening Revival, I think it was in the 1700s, they talked about hell a lot. And because people, we need to be warned. We cannot play games with sin in this life. But those warnings are not coming through. That's just not a very positive and encouraging thing. That's like giving people half the truth and half the gospel, that God loves you, so you're good. Sin doesn't matter. So I heard one person say years ago, a believer, at least a professing believer, say, "You can do anything you want and God will forgive you." Well, that's half the truth, because doing anything you want is counter to Jesus saying you have to make him Lord. That's not going to fly. And here is verse 12 of Revelation 14. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Same warning again. Right after the time, right in the middle of the time that the Antichrist is there, another call. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Endurance is going to be critical during this time. It's critical now. Those who keep the commandments of God. That means those who don't just give the Bible lip service. Sexual purity is commanded in Scripture. There's a lot of other sins in Scripture we can get into: stealing and lying and judging and bitterness and resentment and hatred and gluttony and more. We can't play games with this stuff. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith, the enemy is attacking believers left and right. My faith gets assaulted all the time with the spiritual warfare I go through. And what he tries to do is rot people's faith, and we're in a period of time where a lot of people are falling away. One guy, I think it was in 2021, who publicly, he said he was a believer and renounced his faith. Then he came out with an online course on basically how to renounce your faith. And then a friend of mine said, "What, you got to pay now to go to hell?" And he was charging $299 for this course. It's insane. He eventually took it off because he got a lot of feedback on it. But we're in these times where we're either in the great falling away, or if it hasn't happened yet, that's going to be 10 times worse. So I'm going to flip back to Matthew 24:9, Jesus speaking on the tribulation. "Then they will deliver you." Who is you? The church. "Up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." This is not unbelievers here. The world applauds unbelievers. This is believers. This is Christians. "And many will fall away. We are either in it or coming up to it, and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." What comes to mind here is when one of the elections, I think it was 2020, I was seeing a lot of people calling themselves prophets, prophesying that the presidential nominee who lost was going to win. And I always get this kind of cringe in my spirit, like, dude, you don't know what you're doing, man. You don't want to be doing that unless you're 100% sure you're hearing from God and you really have that gift. Be careful. So picking up and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. If what people are saying does not line up with Scripture, ditch it. Because lawlessness will be increased, that's today, the love of many will grow cold. Your heart is so critical. Don't let it go hard. Don't let it go cold. Don't let sin harden your heart. And here's the warning again. But the one who endures to the end of what? The end of this horrible time of judgment will be saved. And some people say, well, God did not appoint us for wrath, but yet, in the context of that verse, not eternal wrath. And my other comment to that is 6 million Jews. What will you tell them? They weren't appointed to wrath. And I have a fear that, and a concern that one issue with us comfort-driven soft Americans is that we really haven't suffered. We really haven't had to give up our lives for the one we call Lord. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:19, immediately, lock into these words, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 44 of Matthew 24. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the great question we have to ask is, how to be ready? How do we be ready? How do we put ourselves in a place where our heart, and your heart is critical here, watch over it with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That's from Proverbs, I think, 4:23. How do we put ourselves in a place today where we are strong in Him, where we're ready for that time? Rest. Rest is critical. We live our lives at such a fast pace. We have to put into our life, schedule into our life times for rest. There's times we got to say no to demands of others, and so that we can park ourselves with God for an hour or so. And this is where we get our life and our strength, not running around and not doing. We have to face our sin. What is it that's tormenting you right now? What are you playing games with? This is not a time to play games. There is no time to play games. And in churches, we need to be talking about the different sins people are in bondage to a lot more. And one recent survey showed that 2/3 of pastors don't see porn as a problem with their congregation. Do you know how serious that is? Do you know what a big mistake that is by not equipping them in these areas? And then we have to allow Jesus to heal. Goes back to prayer, goes back to silence with God, goes back to time in His Word, goes back to getting help if you want it or need it. We all need Jesus with skin on at some point. I do. I meet with another brother every Friday, and we run through our lives, what we're going through, temptations, pray for each other, our families. We need this. You need this. There must not be any lone stranger Christians. But in our performance-driven churches, where all we do is sit on our butt on Sunday and go home, we're basically training people for isolation. If you want to make a big difference, break everybody up for 20 minutes during your church service and have them share and pray for each other. You will nearly eradicate isolation in the church if you do that. Psalm 84, 5 to 6 shows us what praying for strength, which Jesus encouraged us to do, looks like. Blessed are those, and this is Psalm 84, 5 to 6. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. My strength is not in me. It is not in my corrupt flesh. It is not in self. It's certainly not in pride. And there's a lot of people, even in ministry, who they're all, you know, they're thumping their chests and look at my praise God moments. But some of that is from the flesh. Some of that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying this is how God used me to bless others. That's fine. But you got to know that there are some who have the wrong motives. They want to call attention to themselves. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs, suffering. We are called to suffer as servants of Christ. Suffering is guaranteed in this time. Some of us will be called to die, especially during the tribulation time, and make a choice. Are we going to deny Christ and save what little bit of time we think we have left in this world? Or are we going to refuse to deny our faith, and are we going to stand up and say, no, I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my life. He is my Lord. He has given me everything. I will not deny him. I will not do any such thing, no matter what happens to me on this earth. They make it a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. I go through a lot of tough times, and there's a lot of times when I don't feel good. I feel crummy, including coming in here, but God gives me the strength that I need. Each one appears before God in Zion. Let him be the source of your strength. Faith is a big part of this. Do you really believe in the supernatural life and a supernatural God who can come through and give you strength when you're weary? Or is the Bible just a bunch of study and theology and doctrine? Is it real and alive and powerful? Able to change your life? Or is it something you kind of look at on Sunday and that's it? And the last, make your life count. Pour your life out into the end. Retirement is a lie. It's a waste. The illustrations we have in Scripture, people in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, are people that poured, men and women that poured their life out to the very end. Daniel is one. He was in his 80s and still going strong. Caleb is one in his 80s, taking more land from God. Paul was in his early 60s when he had his head cut off. Go all the way and pour your life out until the very end. Do not buy into the American lie of retirement and spend your quote-unquote golden or last years sitting around, putzing around the house, cleaning it and thinking, hey, God, aren't you impressed at how much I clean my house? So pour your life out. I'll finish with Revelation 19:11 when Jesus comes. And this is no hippie in a horse. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming as a warrior. We are a church at war. If you are a blood-bought son or daughter of Christ, you are at war. This is not Disneyland time. So go to war, make your life count, be prepared to go all the way. He who endures to the end will be saved. We got that warning many times. Read the book of Revelation, these passages in Matthew and Luke and Daniel that I quoted last week. Read them on your own and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And order your life around where we are going. Order your life around God's priorities. Thank you for joining me. We'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.